Welcome to A Load of Old Toffee, number 47, brought to you in association with David Lloyd, Jim in Stevenage, and boroughguide.co.uk.
That's the new way, isn't it? That's the new way around.
It's the way forward, believe me. Today, we're joined by Mark and Dean, as usual, and we also have a special guest, new CEO of Stevenage, Barry Webber.
He's not here yet,
but we will... catch up with him in a moment or two.
I don't like it. He gets a big chair, Mark.
He gets a big chair. Even Wezza didn't have a big chair, did he?
Well, and he got a coffee table that he put his foot on.
That's true, yeah.
Dino, you just slapped his seat.
Yeah. Slap yours as well.
Well, before Barry comes in and out of his earshot, we'll talk about Stevenage and recent events, and we've got our game, of course.
Right, what's the game? What game is it? Because
nice,
I need to equalise this week. I need to get my equalising
Enjoy the game.
So, what are we doing? We're starting off with the game today, are we?
Tell
us the game, and then
we'll tell you what it is straight away.
Give me 10 minutes to think about it.
Now, if either of you were savvy enough,
yeah,
you'd have noted what I said last week, that I had a choice of one of two games. And I went with one. Well, this week I'm going with the other.
I thought you were going with an FA Cup game.
I went FA Cup last week, didn't I?
So yeah, but this, I thought so it might be Spurs or Newcastle or something like that, because you would like to keep up to date.
Not long enough ago. So this is the last time we were rock bottom of the league, and this is Kettering
versus
away, 1-0, Boxing Day 2002.
Okay. Wayne Turner, the manager.
Graham Benstead was his goalkeeper coach.
How many? You're not going to get one for that, dude. How many? No, we're not playing yet.
Right,
think about that.
So we'll go on.
Four.
We'll go on to that later.
Okay. A couple of games we've had, haven't we, since we were last on? We didn't manage to meet last week.
Just
before we do, people have asked why we weren't on last week.
Have they?
It does get a little bit tricky because obviously it was a midweek game last week. We do have differing work patterns,
and I can't bear to be in a room with you some weeks. You two.
Well, sometimes I had enough of you by the weekend.
It gets depressing, doesn't it? We have that Facebook group message, and you just think, "Oh, I cannot go and see that."
Watkins is in a foul mood
again.
Some people love the fact that we're only on once every fortnight. Some people, it's their weekly dose of a loot.
Well, shining light in a dark world.
We do try and meet weekly, but it's not always the case. And apologies for that.
I'm not sorry.
You're not sorry. Did you make the last two games?
I made one of the two.
Which one?
I had the right result. I came to an agreement with my wife. I woke up Tuesday morning and I said, Stevenage at home twice this week. I'm going to one of them. You can decide which one. And she picked Swindon.
So she wanted a shot of you that night.
So
it's a good choice.
What's a good choice?
So how many tweets did I see Tuesday night about, wish I'd have come tonight?
It was a good game.
It was decent, wasn't it?
But yeah. Sort of when I was in the game, when I was in the ground, I sort of thought it weren't as good as everybody was arping on about afterwards.
Somebody said to me,
it was relatively good.
Somebody said to me, Swindon were the worst side they've seen this season.
Don't get me going on this.
I didn't think they did was pass the ball
about from right back to left midfield to right midfield and back again.
But that's how Swindon play, and when it works for them and they beat sides, they're the best team in the league. Yeah. When it doesn't work and they come up against Stevenage who outplay them, all of a sudden it's the worst performance of the season. Dean, you're looking at me funny, but I hear
you're getting all red up.
Every time Stevenage win a game, it was the opposition's worst game of the season. Yeah. If Stevenage win a game, 9 times out of 10, the opposition look poor.
Yeah. That is true. But I think everyone went off on one, didn't they, afterwards, about, oh, what a brilliant performance, this and that and this and that. And I didn't think it was a brilliant performance. I think it was brilliant compared to the utter dross we have seen up until
that point.
Mm.
It's only as good as your next result when you're in our position.
Well, let's not get too negative straight away. What you saw in that game was players pressuring the ball, players that looked like they wanted it, and
the midfield defended on the halfway line.
Yeah.
And it's no surprise to see it's Heslop and Doughty.
And it was, you know, it was a decent performance, but I didn't come out of there thinking, oh God, we were absolutely brilliant. I thought, that's a decent performance, yeah.
It was much needed three points. Two midfielders there who've perhaps been in and out of the side recently and out of the manager's thoughts.
Doughty was awful at Oldham, wasn't he, the previous week?
Didn't play well at all, did he? Came on at half-time, didn't he?
Yeah. I had a conversation with someone on Facebook today, on the Stevenage official, and he wants, I can't remember his name, and he wants Heslop out, and I went, wow. Who are you going to put in there then? Wedgbury. And I went, wow.
Wow.
You know, Heslop doesn't do the pretty. Ask Jack Grealish.
That was a monster of a
Heslop. Boom.
That was a monster.
Don't mess with a 50-50 with Hezzy.
Don't keep showing him the ball, Ivan. I'm sorry.
We said this before. Grealish. That was a Sunday league challenge. He's done three of my teammates. He ain't doing another one.
Yeah.
Bosh.
But we've moved on. To Saturday. I thought Zoko and Akins defended well high up the pitch. I thought they pressured their goalkeeper. They pressured their back four, and then the midfield was pressuring the middle four on the halfway line. And the defence was then able to defend 30 yards from goal, and they were in pop shops from 30, 35 yards. And they had one that hit the bar, but it got a nick and
well,
to come to the bar.
Deflection, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that was because we were holding them 25, 30 yards, and they were having to have shots. And that is exactly what we did when we were in that. Did we win 9 out of 12 or so? I can't remember what Graham said it was now. 9 out of 12.
Graham will tell you.
Yeah, I'm sure he will.
Felipe Moraes in that game.
He was great, wasn't he?
Was brilliant. And I think.
Yeah.
I think when Felipe plays well.
Can you imagine me saying that 12 months ago?
No. When he plays well, we play well.
Yeah.
And he played well on Saturday.
He did okay. I didn't think he was as good as he was Tuesday night, but, you know.
Different game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was different.
Notts County had a bit more bite about them than Swindon seemed to.
Yeah, and that was just in the technical areas. He's a hooligan, isn't he? That.
Can I just say what annoyed me about the Swindon game was the. Can I call them idiots? Yeah, let's call them idiots.
That's probably all
the
you get away
idiots
with.
Idiots in that ground when Jordan Burrow came on, and they were on his back immediately, and it really drives me up the wall. Now, I'm not the world's most positive guy. I get on players' backs and I do all of that.
Do you? Really?
Jordan Burrow, the point where that ball broke through for Jordan Burrow, and he had to start on his knees because he'd fallen over or he'd been knocked over.
Yeah.
He had to start on his knees, and he was 2 yards behind the defenders, and he didn't make the ball. And everyone's going, "Oh, Jordan Burrow, he's crap, Jordan Burrow." Blah, blah. Well, hang on a minute. That's like racing your car, like you've got to stand outside the door of your car, and your opponent's got sitting in their car with the engine started, and what you're going to beat? You're going to get in your car, start your engine, and beat them? No,
look,
weird analogy.
I'm thinking of Dick Dastardly and Muttley for some reason. I don't know why.
Graham Westley made it clear at the start of the season Jordan Burrow was one for the future.
Yep.
He was quite excited about him, and you know he's gonna be.
He's been thrown in too early
on
account of everyone else being rubbish.
Into a side that's been struggling.
He came on whatever reason on 81 minutes. So he played 9 minutes plus the 4 minutes of stoppage time.
I was livid.
Young lad, I don't know, 20, 21?
21 years old, yeah.
And why get on his back? Why do it?
And do you know what? When Zoko said to you that day, Burrow is brilliant.
Is that a racist voice?
No, it's
just a racist
voice. Brilliant. It was sort of a French kind of accent
because he's Ivorian, isn't he?
It sounds like a Frenchman. And
you're on thin ice, my pedigree.
And that's good enough for me.
Yeah alright, fair do.
Anyway, sorry, I just had to get off my chest if any of those kids that were standing behind me. And don't think laughing at all my jokes is going to make me be less annoyed.
Did they laugh at your jokes?
Yeah. You'd think that as endearing.
Was Lee Hardin anywhere near you? I bet he wasn't.
I did see Lee Hardin.
Yeah, I bet he weren't laughing.
Okay, so. The Notts County game, we've just touched on it, but. How did we not win it?
I was convinced up until about the 81st or 82nd minute we were going to get something out of that game. On 60, I thought we were going to win this. On 80, I thought. 70, we're going to get a draw, and by the time 80, 81 had popped up on the board, I thought we're going to get nothing today.
Now, obviously, as I've said, I didn't go to that game, and obviously, I haven't seen any of it, so I find it difficult to comment on what I've not seen.
That's not stopped you for 47 episodes.
But what are you saying there, Mark?
I can normally tell by the people I follow on Twitter that
you love and respect.
If we've lost a game, I see a few people going, "Oh, we didn't deserve to lose that game," and normally I'll go, "I'm not going to listen to your opinion." Mm. But people whose opinions I've got a lot of time for came out of that game and said we didn't deserve to lose that.
No, I don't think we did.
It sounded very much like one of those typical games where you batter someone, like an old FA Cup game where you batter someone.
But we didn't play well We didn't play well for 90 minutes, did we?
No.
We played well in patches, and every shot that the keeper had to save, he wasn't, you know, the hero covered in mud, man of the match. They were all fairly comfortable. There were two.
They were all fairly comfortable. He did pull off two or three really good saves.
Really good saves, but you wouldn't have gone, "Whoa, that was a worldie."
But we had efforts on target,
which we haven't had, which is
a big plus point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Aikens looked lively, but I never got the impression. I never thought he was going to score. I don't know why. I
don't want to say it, but I thought that Zoko
was
trying too hard against the former club, and I hope that's the case because he's a better player than we saw on Saturday. Yeah.
There was one instance in the first half where he was 30 yards out. And you know he ain't going to score. He had a bit of a heavy touch, and he really went after it, didn't he? As if he was panicking to say, "I've got to have a shot." Oh, I've got to have a shot. And that's, you know, don't shake your head.
Dean heard him,
and he just looked like he was panicking. He had to get a shot away. And it didn't work, and he came off, didn't he? And I think that's the first time he's substituted. He stopped laughing.
No, he wasn't. He came off in Swindon, didn't he? But for Jordan Barrow, we were just talking about. But anyway, no, he's a better player than that. And
we glossed over this for Swindon, and don't let it be said that I'm not fair.
Mm. Darius.
Darius Charles, that bit of skill in the centre circle was unbelievable.
Did he mean it?
He meant every bit of that.
He had a touch on Saturday, and I was laughing, and I thought of you. He was pretty much on the centre spot. He has got a defender right up his back, and a ball into his feet, and he's controlled it with the front of his toe, and it has gone right up in the air, about 50 foot, and then he's had to win the header.
Give me strength,
Dino, never to be one to let me compliment someone.
Give me strength.
It was brilliant. I was sat there chuckling away to myself.
He taketh in one hand.
That bit of skill was worldy.
As if no other player has had a poor touch. Felipe Murray against Notts County, it was a poor clearance.
Well, let's not go into slaughtering people.
Somebody which ended up in a goal, but he had a good game. Anyway.
Did you not think that the goal had a foul in the lead up to it? I thought Zoko went to head it, and I thought he was pushed. So therefore Zoko couldn't clear it. It went through another little passage of play, and then the ball fell
into the way. We should have cleared it, shouldn't we?
I was convinced the referee was going to go, "Okay, free kick, Stevenage. Let's get on with it."
Well, okay. Win some, you lose some, don't you? Mm. Let's not dwell on the negatives. We've got a big week. Let's look to the positives.
What's going on this week, then?
We've got... you see Farley's post on the forum this week. Oh. Build up to the big day.
Oh, he must be convulsing every night. Three times a night.
Convulsing now.
Because if he's not, I am.
What's your definition of convulsing, Dean?
Don't ask Dean. Right, let's not.
I just mouthed it.
He nearly told us that. <didn't he? laughs> Okay, Everton. It's got to sound like we're rushing through this because we are short of time.
Well, Barry will be here in a minute.
I was chatting to a bloke at work today, and I sort of said, it's nice to have a go down there after, you know, a bit of a rough season so far, results wise. It's nice to go down there Saturday. You're pretty much in a win-win situation, aren't you? If we come out and we've lost 5-0, everyone goes, they're a team chasing the Champions League, they should be beating Stevenage 5-0. Mm. You come out of there with anything more than that result.
Yeah.
So it's nice just to have that bit of relaxation. The stand's going to be packed. The atmosphere will be red hot.
I was in the press conference today speaking to Graham Wesley.
Where are you now?
And Graham Wesley came up with the thing I always love hearing from him. I think we know how to beat Everton, and we've got a plan. And
has he planned to beat them 5-0?
And that's what I love Graham Wesley saying.
I haven't sent him a text saying we've got to get revenge on them. I should probably do that.
Tradition.
Yeah.
Did you do that after Reading?
I did that for Newcastle. Didn't I? Yeah. And he called me a bigwig.
Did he?
On the telly or the radio? I can't remember.
He called you a bigwig.
I had a text off a bigwig from the Supporters Association. Well, I don't know if that was a dig at me for being bald. Knowing him, it probably was.
Did he have anything else to say about Roberto Martinez, about, you know, his team selection or anything like that?
He suggested that he might not be of the right mind if players like Lukaku are selected.
Why is that then?
Because they've got Liverpool a few days later.
Do you think Graham would be worried about that?
Well, Roberto Martinez might be listening to this podcast, so I don't want to give too much away.
No,
that's true. But he is a fan, isn't he? Since we went up there,
Since I got in his way left the steps at Goodison Park,
we left business cards in his office.
I don't know if Graham was. It was mind games from Graham, but he was trying to intimate that Everton would not be first choice, but whichever way you look at it, it's going to be a decent side, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm looking into hotel prices and stuff for the replay, to be honest.
I am.
If I can get back in that travel lodge.
He'll be very annoyed with you for thinking we're going to draw.
Yeah, why not be in the draw for the fifth round?
I don't have the monkeys ever he gets annoyed with me anymore.
Nor do I, actually. I'm not scared of him anymore.
We're bottom of the league, Graham. Again.
We've got the MasterCard.
I don't fall under that spell anymore.
Oh, I do.
Okay. Come on, just quickly, let's have predictions. What
draw?
Well, I've always said when we've come up against the big boy, we'll get beat 5-0. And it's always gone well, so I'll say we'll get beat 5-0.
So, Dino thinks it's going to be 5-0. You think it's going to be a draw?
1-0, we'll go 1-0 up.
Replay?
Yeah, that's what happens.
I think we're going to get a replay there. And another big payday,
ka-ching. I fancy it. Another night in the beer cellar.
Can you imagine what Wallace will be thinking after a draw? Cool. He'll be convulsing when he gets home.
Replaying that game. Well, I think that's probably a good point to introduce our extra guest for this afternoon. We're joined by new CEO of Stevenage Football Club, Barry Webber.
Good evening.
Good evening, Barry. Thanks for joining us. Obviously, the first question is, what's your brief coming into the club?
Yeah, that's good. Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to be here. I think the brief is really to allow the club to perform and become a stable Championship football club. Now, that's a big brief, and the question is, how do we get there? And that's a long answer to that question, but it started 2 weeks ago. And what we have as a football club is we have a club in the last 5 years that have really performed on the pitch, and possibly overperformed on the pitch, and the infrastructure behind the playing side of the business needs to develop and needs to grow. And when we talk about that, it probably is still in a conference mode, and that's not knocking anybody at the football club. It's just we've just got to move the football club on, and how we operate, how the football community perceives us, how the local community perceives us. You know, there's a lot of hard work that needs to be done at the football club, and like I said, it started 2 weeks ago, and what Everton has allowed us to do is really understand kind of the resource we have, the infrastructure we have, and also it helps identify sort of the holes and also the skill sets that we have. Mm. And it allows the football club, and to be fair, I had a kind of 6-month project in my head, and it's all about reconnecting with the football community in Stevenage and understanding, I think we understanding, you know, does the local community want a successful football club in this area? And if not, why not? And so there's so many questions that we need to start asking ourselves and asking the community. And some of these questions are quite hard to ask, and probably even hard to listen to.
I was going to say, a 6-month project, has you changed your mind on that at all since you've come here? Because
absolutely,
it's a big task, isn't it? I mean, we've debated on here many times, what do people want? You know, why, what can we do to get more people through the door?
Yeah. Well, I think, again, I think you've got to look at the council and the town, and I think you've got to look at, you know, one of the first things you see when you drive into Stevenage is the football club. Mm. And there's obviously a lot of conversations about the North Stand and plan permission or not, and who's going to fund it. You know, there's some great ideas we have at the football club that we really like to mould that stand into the 2,500 seat, make it a very interactive learning centre, local community, local business community to really sort of engage with us and have a part in terms of the values of what that stand really represents in the community. If you look at someone like Rotherham, and I'm going to use Rotherham as a great example, of a really deprived area, and I'm not saying Stevenage is deprived, but I'm using it as a case study, and how a football club can reignite a stadium with a bit of investment, a bit of belief, a bit of hope, and they've gone from crowds of 3,000 to 3,500 to 8,000, 9,000, progressing up League One. Look at that case study, and look at that football club has done for Rotherham in terms of investment, in terms of jobs, in terms of hope. And that's what we want to try and create at Stevenage. The football club has to be at the core of what Stevenage makes Stevenage great. A successful football club in Stevenage will ignite this area, and that's what I'm trying to bring to this football club.
two questions spring to mind there. One is obviously Rotherham as a case point. They haven't got an Arsenal and a Tottenham on their doorstep, which Stevenage have got and are actively competing against. Yeah. And secondly, just a slightly, the North Stand, is that something that the club is genuinely working on, you know, every day? Because we keep seeing that it's being put on the back burner. Yeah. And does what happens on the pitch affect the development of that?
So, first question. Yes, we have Arsenal and Spurs 30-odd miles away. I would like to think we're not always challenging. Stevenage is a football community. If they support Arsenal and Spurs, that means they've got an interest in football. You know, do you pay 60, 70, 80 quid to go and watch Arsenal and Spurs play plus 25 quid plus 5 pint a pint? That's expensive. Or do you come and support your local football club? Mm. And coming on to the question of, you know, how do we evolve? Yes, there's always going to be demand for Premier League football because it's the greatest show on the planet. I've been there for the last 5-6 seasons and it's phenomenal. Mm. But also, when they're playing away from home, where are these people, where are these fans that aren't going to Arsenal or Tottenham? They're not coming to Stevenage anymore. Mm. And the question I need to ask the fan base is why? Why are you not coming to Stevenage Football Club? We have our core fans, which we're, you know, the club's built on our core fans, which we're forever ever thankful for, and the loyalty and the support they give us is second to none. But we need to grow that. We need to grow that kind of core base. And the question is, how do we grow it? Mm-hmm. So that's the first question. I'd love people to come and ask, come and see me. Come see me at the club. We'll do an open evening. Well, I'll give it my time, and I'll ask that same question. And only once we start learning the answers or hearing the answers to that question can we start making really dramatic changes, drastic changes. The North Stand is a project the chairman has given me. I'm with the council imminently to understand their desires. You know, it does represent the town. Hmm. The North Stand, I don't believe, does the football club any justice at all. I think we're superior to that, clearly. Hmm. We've got to act like a League One club, and that stand doesn't really demonstrate what we're all about. Mm. And I think, you know, there is local businesses that can help support and fund that stand. And I'll probably go into that another time.
So, I mean, obviously the big talk has been funding. Is that going to be such a big issue? I mean, you know, is the funding there from the local business?
Is the funding there to... Again, that depends on the council's and the town's appetite to support us. And I think we need to learn. We need to understand. I need to sit down in front of Sharon and Aidan and understand where do we go. Yeah. You know, where are we in the planning stage, the planning permission stage, and you know, what will it take to really put that in place?
Right.
So it's a difficult question for me to answer because I haven't had the chance yet to sit with Aidan and Sharon and the council.
Is that all important though, Barry, to have a new... Is that going to bring in an extra 1,000 people?
No, but I think if you put...
That's always been my view. I don't understand...
It's not...
A football ground is a football ground, and they're far superior to what they were 20 years ago, for example.
I think with that though, I think a big part of why people don't come down here is people still see it as little old Stevenage.
Agreed.
Oh, it's Stevenage. Oh, it's just Stevenage. I'm not paying 20 odd quid or whatever it is to go and watch little old Stevenage. You bang a new North Stand, it probably ain't going to bring 1,000 people in, but it'll start to change that perception, I think.
Right, okay. Yeah, I suppose not everyone has the same perception as
me. It's all about how it's done. So if you create a stand that's a learning centre, for example, where schools can come and learn about, that's called space. Mm. Let's put space and Stevenage Football Club into one mix here. And what great powerful values you have. Put them schools and experiences into that, a learning centre, and you've got constant footfall of kids coming through and learn about space expeditions. You know, what does it mean to Stevenage? Why is Stevenage at the core of space? Start educating not just Stevenage but the local community and outside the local community, and then suddenly people start talking about Stevenage in a different light. And
I mean, going round football grounds, as you come with me, and we go round and pretty much most of the press facilities on a match day are based in some kind of a learning centre. There's plenty of computer facility and ISDN and that sort of thing. And
But Oldham was great, wasn't it? As a proper old football ground. You wouldn't have wanted to get out in case of a fire or anything like that.
Do you think so? It wasn't one of my favourite top of the list afternoons we had.
But you say, you going back to what you said about it being a conference perception... you should have been here in the conference.
Okay.
Different ball game though. Different ball game. I'm pretty sure.
We've improved massively in 3 years. Mm. I mean, I had nothing to do with sort of media or behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. 3 years ago, I was a fan on, you know, in the main stand, and you know, from where we were in the conference, what Phil has done and what Bob did before you has
absolutely
changed from a proper non-league club. But I suppose we are still perceived by league clubs as non-league.
Yeah, no,
I think that sort of highlights the point I was going to make when you were saying that bringing in the fans, trying to understand why people don't come to the football club.
Yeah.
For me, that's the wrong demographic of people to be asking, because they're the people that are coming to the football club. So
why aren't your mates coming
really
though, Mark?
Because they still have that perception of little old Stevenage, and whilst we can look at it and go, we've progressed in leaps and bounds, we know that because we know what it was like before. Those guys that don't come down here and haven't been coming here for years, they go, it's Stevenage. When they won the conference, they were in that ground, and they're still in that ground, and it's no different. We know we've got a police control room that we didn't have when we were in the conference. Do you know what I mean? The little things like that that
so they can arrest
you. The people that don't know, don't know.
And you have to say, the things that back that up is our league position. The number of times I said, well, it was always going to happen. Stevenage were going to get there, and it was never going to last. They were always going to start falling down.
Yeah.
And you know, you have to say, I mean, it's a fine balance from your point of view. What happens on the pitch as to what happens off it, I'm sure.
Let me ask you this. So if you look at our league attendances currently to the conference, how do they differ?
Not great. Either way, I wouldn't have thought.
A couple of hundred up. Average? I don't know.
And if we look,
and that's probably, you're looking at a bigger away following as well.
I was going to say, if you look at the away following, how does that compare to a conference away following?
Yeah, much bigger, obviously.
Yeah.
So I mean, we were probably at 1,800 in the conference. We're probably, at 2-2-2 now for home.
We're about 2.9 average attendance, including away fans, yes.
Mm.
Yes, which is... So if we take that step forward and go back, you know, Mark, talk about your example, you know, we're a League One football club that's probably on par with attendance when we're in the conference. People are generally switching off, and I need to know why.
Mm.
And that's the question I need answered. And we did this, again, not to talk about West Ham today, but... One of the best things we did was we created a supporter advisory board where, and I know we've got the SA, but part of the supporter advisory board is, you know, we basically, season ticket holders had the right to become a member. We had 300 members, and we had breakout groups. So we talked about retail, we talked about ticketing, we talked about community, we talked about sponsorship, we talked about match day experiences, and we had kind of workshops, and that filtered back into West Ham. Now, we learnt a great deal about what the actual community and the fan base thought about West Ham, and we made changes and we listened to them. So a great example, one of my jobs was, and I'll come back to answer the question, one of my jobs was, you know, Adidas was the brand that the fans at West Ham wanted to see the players running out in.
Mm.
So my job was not only just get the most commercially viable and best deal for the football club, but it was Adidas as well.
Mm.
And we made that happen. And that was just a gesture of, okay, we've listened to you. We had offers on the table. We got Adidas to the table. They offered us the biggest commercial deal. Here's a new kit. Now, that's just an example of how we can listen to the fan base. And my point being is, have we listened to the fan base? Do we need to listen to them more? And I think we do.
I think that's the case. I mean,
Phil's been quite good over the years with fans forums, hasn't he? With Graham and with Gary and even with Mark Stimson. But some people would like to refer to him as a party political broadcast, and he doesn't always answer the question. He's always been pretty honest with me, but that's not because I ask him stupid questions, really. And he has taken on board things that were said, like the family ticket. You know, someone pointed out to him it wasn't actually that great a value, and he sat there and did the sums in his head. He went, "Oh, actually, you're quite right," and he changed it.
Yeah.
So, but then he's got wages to pay every week.
Of course he has.
And he's not going to knock £5 off a ticket without thinking, how am I going to pay Marcus Haber's wages this week?
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the biggest things for me, is the price. I remember sitting with my mates when we were in the League Two playoffs, and it was on my stack actually. We were sitting around a table, and they said, "You go up this year, I'll get Stevenage a lot more next season when they're in League One." So we got halfway through the season, none of them have turned up, and you say, "Why are you going to go?" "Yeah, no, make it a Championship. I'll turn up when you go to the Championship."
But then I'm
not paying £20 to go and watch Stevenage. And what do you do with that? With that attitude, you can't, because like Dean says, you're not going to knock £5 off a ticket and go, "Well, you got a Spurs season ticket, get in for half price."
Well, it's £8 or £10 to get in at Hitchin now, isn't it?
Of course it is.
It's not going to happen.
Because everything's just gone up a notch, hasn't it?
I'd rather spend that £20 sitting in a pub watching Spurs on the telly.
If you look at the League One, I think, you know, our price point is mid-table. You know, we're not expensive, we're not cheapest. We're where we should be in terms of location, in terms of, you know, so I don't think our price point is wrong. I think League One clubs confuse their ticketing structure. I'm not saying Stevenage, but as a par, I think we overthink, clubs overthink ticketing structures in League One. The question, I'm not really concerned about your friends. I'm not really concerned about...
No.
You know,
my friends as a representation of people that you...
Agree, but you're talking to them from a Stevenage point of view, so you know those people, so you can have an impact on those people, so I'll leave that to you. There's people in Biggleswade, there's people in Bedfordshire, there's people that we're losing to MK Dons, we're losing to Luton. True. You know, that's the bigger picture. We partner Comet and the local journal, and they do a great job for us, and Phil Wallace has done a phenomenal job for this football club. His frustration, and I don't want to speak out of turn for Phil, but you know, he's very proud that he runs his football club debt free, and every single penny he generates from the football club is reinvested back into it.
Yeah. And I think we are, as fans as well, I think we are.
Yeah.
When you see clubs going to the wall, the amount of people that say, we'd rather get relegated this season than see Phil Wallace plough a load of money into the club and us end up in Conference South.
But his frustration, if I can just finish, his frustration is the infrastructure he's built. You know, the hard work has been done.
Yeah.
You know, part of me meeting Phil, we went down to the training centre, went down the academy, and it's on par with Premier League. Mm-hmm. It's phenomenal what he's done there.
Mm.
You know, absolutely phenomenal. So the infrastructure, the hard work has been done. We now need to take that story out into the community, and not just community we all know in Stevenage. And I generally believe 50% of our fans actually reside in Stevenage. I think 50% actually are unknowns that sit outside Stevenage. That's the group I need to talk to. That's the group we need to talk to, and that's the group I need to become aware of. And I need to encourage them to come to match days.
I think the majority of the Supporters Association membership is outside. I think the vast majority is from outside.
I think it's been done, hasn't it? The survey was done that a lot of people, Wellingons and the periphery.
So what was done with that survey?
There you go, there's a bit of information for you.
Yeah, well, no, absolutely. That's
giving it to us.
So there's no point, if you get that information, what are you going to do with it? And that's what I bring in. It's the two or three or four steps beyond what the clubs generally take. The club's taking all the right steps. It's just probably needs to take two or three more.
And I look at what Alex has done with the foundation and the schools that he's got into, and it's just grown and grown and grown and grown. And him and his guys have done a brilliant job with that, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
I find a lot of frustration, though, tends to come from the newer fans, which are likely to be the people that you're going to obviously pull on board. Because, as what Mark and Dino just said, we know where the club have come from, we know what Phil Wallace has done, we know what Phil Wallace will do to make sure that the club is still in place. A new fan comes in and says, well, the bottom of the table, we need new players,
it's almost what Manchester United fans are going through now, you know.
It's not going to happen.
They're proper football fans now, aren't they? Learning
the club
to deal
has to be on the right backing. So that must make your life more difficult.
Well, yes and no. So who is, describe to me what a Stevenage fan is.
Steve, you better take this
away. We were talking. You haven't been on the East Terrace yet, have you?
On air,
I've seen it.
there's a wide range.
There's two groups in there. There's two Stevenage fans, and we all know what we're talking about.
Mm.
And so, you know, I think once we understand that, and I don't want to say obviously too much, but I think there is an old breed of fans that, you know, have seen the club in the conference.
We worked it out a couple of weeks ago. Steve said to me the older fans and the younger fans, and apparently the older fans are over 30.
Right, okay.
It doesn't even really work like that.
But I don't know. It's and I've had conversations with Bob about it over the years as well prior to you. But it's just something that if you go to Stevenage Station at lunchtime on a Saturday, going south, it just is phenomenal.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely, but so the question is, sorry to put you on the spot there, but you know, who is a Stevenage fan? You know, we can guess, but we can't really answer. And I keep going on about, and you're in months to come, you understand why I'm saying what I'm saying. Mm. You know, there's a lot of work internally we need to do in terms of understanding who our fan base is, where it resides, hotspots, how do we communicate them, how do we engage them, if they come to match day, how do we record their match day experience, how can we improve that, how can we deliver a little bit more value into the fan base. And you get all that mix right, suddenly you've got a nice little proposition and it's compelling and it makes people want to come back. And this is our chance with Everton, and I know there's kind of a lot of Everton fans coming, but this is our chance where possibly we have 2,500 fans that are coming in Stevenage colours and they're coming and cheering our club on, and they haven't been before, or haven't been for a long time. So what can we do as a football club to maintain our lines of communication with those 2,500 that don't always come, and how can we entice them to come back maybe one or two or three times more than what they would have? And that's my job.
You mentioned the survey that we did a little while ago. One of the most interesting questions on there for me was the suggestion of putting on, if there was some sort of local transport network that would get people in. And I think since then, with all the car parks refusing to let anyone park in, that becomes a massive thing.
Colchester do it, don't they?
If you live in Biggleswade, or you live in Welling, or you live in wherever, you can look at it and go, yeah, they've got a nice 500 car car park, but actually, if you can't get in there, and I've got to get from Biggleswade. It's like, I live in Stevenage, I get my wife to come and drive me to the football and come pick me up again, because what do I do? There's nowhere to park, and I know that's not the club's fault in any way. But
we're kind of restricted.
Sort of got to think, well, maybe is there something that could be done from that point of view?
I think there is. I mean, Fulham famously, I'm going to use Fulham for this because they're the first ones to do it, they bought this series of double decker buses. And they were old, they paid, I think, £2,500 for a double decker bus. And they were famous for going around and just doing loop the loops and picking fans up, dropping off the stadium. And it was almost, you know, walk on, walk off. And it was their way to help grow attendances. And, you know, if budget is there and if demand is there, maybe that's something we can look at. But there is ways.
I found that. But I think that'd be a good idea. But like you say, it's all down to budget, isn't it?
It is.
How did you meet Phil?
Good question. I met Phil by a mutual contact in the sports industry, and we had coffee at the club, and it was a very long conversation, and I believe that the time of the conversation was perfect for both of us. I think hopefully Phil believes that too. I wasn't looking to leave West Ham United. You know, I've commercial director, nearly done four seasons there. Very involved in the new Olympic Stadium.
I was going to say, that must be a huge time for West Ham at the moment with what's going on there.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of great progression in that football club. Very well liked by the owners and Karen Brady, who obviously came and headhunted me from Newcastle. Phil, I think I've kind of touched on it, the frustrations are there. I think Phil's done all the hard work and the infrastructure is there to allow this club to kick on, and I think he saw a need. I've always wanted to be a CEO. I've always wanted to testify, having worked for the likes of, again, sort of not to name drop again, but, you know, Bill Kenwright, Robert, you know, Ralston at Everton, then Mike and Karen Brady. You know, I've learned from really good operators who are really tight on their costs, on their budgets, but really know how to sort of understand their assets and how to maximise the true value of your assets. So I bring a great pedigree with me of proven experience, and I like think Phil saw that and thought, actually, yeah, I buy into this. We threw a few balls up in the air and it kind of stuck, and that's kind of quite a long story, quite short.
And then you met Graham.
Mr. Wesley, he's an inspiration.
He listens to this. He says he doesn't, but he always listens. He's the first one to download it, so don't worry, we're not talking behind his back.
Graham is I haven't got to know the management style I've seen, but I've just witnessed obviously the press conference today for the
he's a bit of a lunatic, isn't he?
To be fair,
stop putting words in the man's mouth.
I don't agree with that. He's phenomenal. I think in terms of the language he uses, the way he engages with people and the audience, he's up there. I haven't seen many better. And I can
he's
see
a businessman now, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, of course he is. But he's also, you know, he's inspiring, which you can understand why the players come steaming out the dressing rooms and play for him.
Sighing.
Yeah, and play for him. I mean, you can understand that 10 minutes in a room with Graham, you'll feel top of the world, and he'll get absolutely every ounce out of you.
Well, when Bob and
you're speaking to
Bob, the biggest when Bob and Phil employed him for the second time, there was all hell let loose.
Right,
we were never coming again. And da, 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 da,
okay,
da. He stuck me in a room with Graham Wesley, me and him on an East Frame pens at the wall. He's kicking chairs over, telling me this, telling me that.
You have that effect on most people.
I was just about to start,
but you can't. And he met us before Christmas, and he was in a jovial, bubbly mood. And some people hate him. Some people will not come to the ground while he's the manager. Yeah. I think they're very few.
They are very few.
Yeah.
But I can't help but fall under his spell. Yeah. And I get the mickey taken out of me for it. But he does. You just believe everything he's going. We're not going to get relegated. Yeah. Which there is no way we're going down.
Which again, going back to what we were saying about the older Stevenage fans and the newer ones, it's the newer ones are saying, well, you know, how long's that manager got left?
Yeah, I see hashtag Wesley out, and it's just never.
But are the newer ones on the East Stand singing his name every match?
I don't know. You tell me. You guys are on the East Terrace.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot of support for Graham Westley, but this is what I'm saying.
Football fans are fickle, though, aren't they?
From the people that know the history of the club.
I think, obviously, we've touched on this already, but the football club is, you know, in terms of budgets, is really tightly run, and Graham has to operate in a really tight environment. So, you know, and rightly so. You know, he knew exactly what he's stepping back into. Phil's always been that way, and rightly so as well.
Was that not quite the case with the previous manager?
Look, before me, I can't.
Because
I can't,
we're desperate to shift out some of Gary's players.
There's always going to be a legacy that you're not, is a not wanted legacy from one manager to the other. That's going to happen in football. Whether they're overpaid or not, it's not my place to comment on that. But I know there's a lot of players, obviously, you'll see a lot of transition already. And Graham's trying to obviously create his team.
So, is there. We've seen a lot of talk lately about budgets being really tight, got to let players out. Presumably, there's not. It's not a thing we should be worrying about. We're still financially. There's not a.
Oh, absolutely.
We're still sort of something.
I feel extremely proud of what he's done with the football club, and it's debt free.
Was it a good draw? Coventry away wouldn't have been such a good draw.
No, listen, it's a great draw for us on so many different levels. And like I said, I had a 6-month plan in my head, and part of that was to really understand, one, the Stevenage fan base, and two, trying to immerse the football club into those fans that have been staying away. And with Everton come to town, it kind of allows me to not just understand the fans a little bit more, but also entice these people back that haven't been to the club. So financially, absolutely a dream draw for us, a needed draw, because we are competing against our budgets are tiny compared to all, if not
Milton Keynes Dons.
Yeah, I mean, is the money available almost straight away? Because we saw some money seemingly coming into the club after the Doncaster win, for example.
It's pretty instant. Will it allow us to be more active in the transfer market? I still think we need to. I still think there's one or two players that need to leave the football club before we can bring some in.
Is that are you able to say whether that's likely? Presumably not.
Players to leave, or
me and Mark have offered to drive a couple of them anywhere they want to go. Yeovil, Carlisle, we'll take them. Don't you worry.
It's a question that I mean, again, my remit's very the business side. It's not the football side. I think Graham would like to bring players in, but he understands he's got to get a couple out as well.
I didn't think you'd ask that. we had some questions coming from some fans today, so I just wanted to make sure we fielded most of them, which I think we've already gone through. Other than your favourite cheese.
My favourite cheese.
Yeah.
No, I don't eat cheese.
Doesn't eat
cheese.
There you go, Mark Smith.
Don't eat cheese.
I know time's short for you, Barry, and that you do want to get away. But what have you seen on the pitch that's really given you encouragement over the since you've been here?
What have I seen on the pitch? Well, Doncaster, phenomenal.
I remember seeing your tweets on that.
Yeah, I said already from the first words. It was funny because I came to the Stourbridge match and a few other matches, and Graham and I have a lot. We have an open dialogue. We talk a lot, and Graham's like, "Look, wait till you see the squad is good, but my first 11 is as good as any in the league." And I was like, "Okay, Graham, okay." And then I saw it at Doncaster, and from the first whistle onwards, we absolutely deserve to win that match, and that's a club that obviously
I
went
saw
up
it in us. The warm up. Yeah. I saw the difference in the two warm ups, and I knew we were going to win at 5-3.
It was comfortable for us. It was the stadium was comfortable. The changing rooms were large, modern. It wasn't hostile at all. There was only
3,000.
It kind of was solid. It just played. Everything played into our hands. And they brought £1 million striker off the bench. Painter, and it's still. To be fair, it should have been 3-0. How it was 3-2, I thought.
I said to someone, if we'd have won 4 or 5, nobody could have argued.
There was only one team in it, and then obviously I saw the match against Swindon. And again, same, very similar performance against Doncaster. So what I've seen is the potential is as good as any League One. But potential, sometimes you need a lot more consistency in that. So there is no way in my mind that if we play to our potential, we should be anywhere near where we are. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I keep falling back onto those two performances. And Notts County, the first half, there was only one club in that, there's only one team in that match. And we talked about this already off air, but how we didn't come away with 3 points, I will never know.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Let's hope that we've got a replay or even a fifth round tie to come up as well, and that'll make your life a little bit easier over the weeks to come.
What we'll do is, if it's all right with yourselves, in a sort of month's time, I'm happy to come and sort of give you regular updates.
Absolutely.
And be open. I just want the point being that, you know, I'm quite an open operator, and I just want to learn from the fan base and to make the adjustments that we need to make.
Well, we'll certainly give you the backing.
Sure, your Twitter account will get bombarded now.
Oh, you're still the West Ham boys. So.
Excellent.
Lovely. Great, thanks guys.
Thanks, Barry.
Mark, we're going to move on and play the game.
Des Gallagher, Barry Hales, Epitome Soji,
Steve and Dean guess the team from a game that happened years ago.
Ruined features.
I hope everyone enjoyed that jingle. You can all thank SFC Johnny for that. Yep, a lot of time and effort went into that.
Thanks to SFC Johnny.
Nice sample as well. Took samples from previous episodes.
Effort over Sodgy.
Right, Kettering.
Kettering versus
away, Steve. 1-0, Boxing Day 2002. Who's bidding first? Steve, you're bidding first.
Yeah, you are.
Right. I'll go 4.
Dean.
I'll have to say you have to name 4, because this period of time I've erased from my memory.
You've got to
reiterate what the game was. Yep. Kettering Town 1, Stevenage Borough 0, the last time we were rooted to the foot of the table. 26th of December 2002.
Name 4.
You've got to name 4 players from that starting lineup.
Why did I say that?
This is tough.
Okay.
I know one. I can name one. I don't even know who the goalkeeper was.
Stuart Fraser.
That was the one I knew.
Is in.
Goalkeeper would have been...
Why are you moving like that?
Because I'm nervous now.
Just moving, it's rocking to and fro.
I'm not going to go goalkeeper.
Okay.
I'll go Jason Goodliffe.
He's in.
Whoa. I'm going to go Liam George.
No.
Nowhere near.
God almighty.
Nowhere near.
What have I got a name? 2. You got 2.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, he didn't bid, so yeah, go on, yeah. Get to his 4.
I assume that Jean-Michel Ziguer played.
No.
Oh, God.
Scott Houghton.
No. Dean. There's a couple of biggies in there.
Is there? McMahon had gone by then. Surely McMahon had gone by then.
Robin Trott.
No. Not Trotty.
Not Trotty.
Sam McMahon.
Is in.
So I need to name one more.
No.
Because I think we can safely say it's a draw.
Yeah, you have good in that one.
Good grief.
Go on. Jamie Campbell.
Is in.
Oh, my favourite player at that time, Jamie Campbell. Hang on a minute. If Jamie
league.
Campbell played and Stuart Fraser played, no wonder we lost.
Yeah. You had Mark Westhead in goal.
Oh, yeah, Westy.
Simon Travis.
Right back.
Travis.
Michael Blackwood.
Blimey.
Oh, Jesus.
Wormel.
Simon Wormel is a red.
Louis Riddle.
Oh! How did his song go? You can't say it.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I can't
remember. Hey diddle diddle, we got Louis Riddle. And then...
Okay, I still don't remember it. Justin Richards and Richard Paquette.
Oh, Paquette, he always used to get himself sent off. That was poor.
Goalkeeping sub, Phil Wilson.
Yeah, Phil Wilson.
Don't remember that.
Young lad.
Trotty was on the bench, Joe Flack, Charlie McDonald, and Yorkshire Borough's dad.
You've said it.
John Dreyer featured on the bench.
Yorkshire Borough's dad.
Okay.
Well, I see him as Yorkshire Borough's dad. He fancies him, doesn't he?
Well, that just about wraps things up.
Could do, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think so, yeah. Nice to have Barry on, wasn't he? Lovely.
Yeah, he's all right, isn't he?
Lovely fella.
Good to have a chat, and hopefully we'll get him back and he's true to his word and we'll come
back on.
I just want him to come back and tell us stories about the Golds and Mike Ashley.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Sorry, yeah, we should have done this. Thanks for sending your questions in. I think we addressed most of them in our chat. Sorry we couldn't name drop you. We were really short for time. And Jeff Wode, I apologise. As much as I wanted to ask you Jazz Mag's question, it didn't seem appropriate.
It was my favourite question of the
day. There was an air of professionalism in here when Barry was here. And
we could answer it.
Who's got the
most Jazz Mags, me or Steve?
Only one of you's just got divorced.
And that's the time to say... Let's hope for a good result at the weekend. Everton, can't believe that one's happening.
We might not be back next week, might we? Because Crew is Tuesday as well.
Not the way you're carrying on.
I'm going home.
Hello, Bob Toffee. Hello, Bob Toffee.
Saw the return of Graham Wesley as well to the Rabbits. Looked a little bit feisty at times, including some exchanges from the dugout.
Well, he's always got plenty to say. Most of it's a load of Bob Toffee.
This podcast was brought to you in association with www.boroughguide.co.uk. If you'd like to contact the podcast team or contribute to a future edition, please email us at aloadofoldtoffee@gmail.com, and that's with no spaces. You can also join us on Facebook by searching for A Load of Old Toffee, or you can follow us on Twitter at Old Toffee, again, no spaces.
A Load of Old Toffee. I'm talking.